Welcome. Marjorie Turner joins us today. She's a senior vice president at the Urban Institute, where she leads efforts to frame and conduct the Institute's agenda of policy research. She's a nationally recognized expert on urban policy and neighborhood issues and served as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Research at the Department of Housing and Urban Development during the Clinton administration. Her recent testimony before the House Ways and Means Committee's Subcommittee on Human Resources was titled, Evidence-Based Policymaking Requires a Portfolio of Tools. Marjorie, welcome.
Thanks very much.
The message in your testimony is that policymaking is an iterative process with a lot of opportunities for evidence to inform and strengthen decisions. And that, you argue, requires policymakers and practitioners to draw on a range of tools, or a portfolio of tools, as you call it. Tell us more about that.
Well, policymaking is messy. It doesn't have often a very clearly defined beginning where a policy is invented. Instead, experimentation, implementation, failure, reinvention, re-implementation is ongoing all the time. And research and evidence can contribute at all those stages or any stage along the way and make the process better. Not yield a definitive answer, but make the process stronger, have us rolling and iterating forward to better outcomes. So that means that at any moment, the relevant questions may be, how do we implement this most effectively? Or how have the problems that motivated the program changed? And we need to think about, so what's the right way to answer that question, the question policymakers are asking today? What's the right tool that will really generate the evidence that makes a difference?
I'd like to read a quote from your testimony. You write, quote, "Often the conversation about evidence-based policy focuses too narrowly on a single question and a single step in the policymaking process," unquote. I assume that the question that you're referring to is, does this policy work? In other words, a thumbs up or thumbs down. While in some cases that question may be important, I hear you arguing that there are a lot of other questions also worth asking.
Yeah, I think, especially over the last couple of years, when this notion of, well, we want to have evidence-based policies has gained a lot of attention and a lot of weight, that's often focused on a kind of up or down decision about a new initiative or a particular program. Does it work? Is it evidence-based? Should we fund it or should we kill it? So that's a really important question, but it's not the only question policymakers need help answering. In fact, I think other questions are actually more common in that sort of never-ending iterative process that I described.
And give us an example of one of those questions that comes to mind.
So, you know, very often the question policymakers need help with is the nature of the problem, the size of the problem, how it's distributed across different kinds of places, different categories of people, and what damage that problem is doing to the economy or to people's outcomes or to children's future. So that kind of diagnostic research can be tremendously influential in policymaking and really sharpen the conversation about what problems are worth addressing and require some kind of public intervention. The next issue after diagnostics really is assessing alternative solutions. So imagine that there really is a problem that doesn't have policies aimed at it yet. We've diagnosed that problem and now we're thinking, so what are some alternative approaches to solve it? And what are the relative costs and benefits of alternative approaches? So there are a lot of different tools for tackling that kind of question. Certainly a random control trial is one way, and I'm very interested, although I haven't done them, in new imaginative approaches for doing very quick and cheap kinds of random control trials. And I think there are a fascinating set of circumstances where those could be useful.
Using administrative data, for example.
Yeah, or using simple mail inquiries or phone inquiries to see how would people respond to two different ways of structuring an application process or something like that.
Operationally focused experiments, in other words, that can help program managers improve existing programs. In a way related to that, one of the tools that you discuss is microsimulation models. Tell us more about that.
At the Urban Institute, we have quite a few really cool microsimulation modeling tools, which essentially let you ask what-if questions. So one of our most well-known microsimulation models is the tax policy model, which will let you try out pretty radical changes in the federal tax code and see, okay, how much money would that raise over a decade, more or less than today, and who would pay more and who would pay less under that alternative. So that's a way of, in effect, in the laboratory, almost playing out a whole bunch of different alternatives and being able to see what their strengths and weaknesses are.
You also note that policymakers need evidence to help them inform major decisions about policy implementation.
We often forget that program design and funding are really important, but then on the ground implementation is critical. And so one is just, is the intervention that was designed and perhaps even tested and proven, is it being implemented properly? Are the administrative agencies doing what they're supposed to be doing? Or perhaps as you scale up a program and start implementing it in different kinds of settings with different kinds of populations, you learn that you need to tweak the program a little bit to be accessible for a different population. Or in a far-flung rural area, the actual costs of administration are different than in your dense central city area. So really digging into the implementation process and costs can be essential to refining, honing, improving a model that is generally deemed to work.
Final question, Marjorie. Are there any pieces of advice that you would give to program managers, policy officials at the local, state, or federal levels that come out of your testimony in terms of building and using evidence?
Well, the first is a healthy respect for evidence as an important input into what are inherently political decisions, but more knowledge, more evidence is going to make those political decisions better informed, more solid, I believe better for the country in the long run. So I think that's my first strong argument. And then my second is that there isn't just one source of evidence or one tool for going out and obtaining evidence that can be useful. And you have to be smart about what's the tool that gets you the answers to the questions you're struggling with right now as a policymaker.
I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to check out Marjorie's testimony. I'll put a link on the blog. It also covers some tools that we didn't talk about in this interview, including analysis of administrative data, performance measurement, and also qualitative methods. But for now, Marjorie Turner from the Urban Institute, thank you very much for being with us.
Very welcome. It's a pleasure.